The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. Good afternoon. And I feel like that disclaimer, every time I hear it, it's like, well, they might agree with us.
Makes it sound like we're bad or something.
Makes it sound like we got them at gunpoint in the back of the room.
It's like, what are they going to say?
They don't agree. They might not agree. They might want to distance themselves
these
from
these two are knuckleheads. We're not going with anything on their
brutal.
Say-so.
God. All righty. So
the people in Philadelphia have no idea what we're talking about.
I know. They're like, what?
We don't need disclaimers in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, we don't? They don't hear that?
No, they don't hear that. That's just a KCNR thing.
No, they just whack you.
We should play it for them one time just so they hear it. It's just like the opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only. I think I could actually kind of almost recite it. And it makes it sound like we're going to do something bad. Makes it sound like we're on cable. Well, we're not. So today we're talking about water with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA. And although it's not, I don't know. It's got to be an issue in the East. It's mostly anywhere that's a rural area. You know, the joke is, it's not really a joke. The statement is always whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. And it seems that as we march along in history here, more fighting, lots more fighting. You know, you kind of thought that was all over with back in the Wild West. No, actually, we're right at it. So doing some discussion of navigable waters. And for those of you that don't really follow some of those issues, you really should, because your representatives are making laws and rules. We're going to be electing a president next year, and hopefully people all go and vote and don't pick a knucklehead. At this point, you know, just don't pick a communist.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, it's wide open. But I did add this on the website, which is wethepeopleradio.us, and it's the Sixth Circuit court puts a controversial waters of the United States, and you'll see it in all sorts of articles as WOTUS, so like POTUS and all that. So the WOTUS rule is on hold. So on the 9th of October, U.S. Court of Appeals issued a nationwide stay against the enforcement of regulation issued by the EPA, our friends at the EPA, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, boo, defining the scope of waters of the United States subject to federal regulatory jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act. They're always trying to, like, worm their way in to be in charge of everything. So if you have property and they strip away your water rights, your property is virtually unusable and worthless. So we can't allow these agencies and faceless bureaucrats to suck away all of our water rights. So at the end of the last hour, you were going to give us the definition of navigable waterways. Because according to the Army Corps these days, you know, if you can float a rubber duck in it, it's theirs.
It's theirs. So you were going to tell us where we could look that up.
The term navigable waters of the United States means navigable waters as defined in Section 502, parens 7 of the Federal Water Pollution Control Act,
okay,
FWPCA, also known as the Clean Water Act and the tributaries of such waters and so forth. And if a person really studies, it goes back to maritime, etc. The reason why the Army Corps came into being in what the 1700s for George Washington's army to build bridges and so forth and so on, and its main purpose is to remove obstructions, sediments, obstructions, etc., for passageway of commerce. So, you know, it's really a glaring disingenuous thing when they instead, for example, build obstructions on the Missouri River.
Okay, but does that include, I noticed one part of that said any tributaries. Did it say
no,
tributaries?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have read that part, because that is just, it's giving, it's giving, it refers to interstate, and that's the whole thing, is that you have to remember the simple definition of navigable as pertains to statute, is that you have to be able to move at a minimum a 13-ton barge down the waterway across a state line for the purpose of interstate commerce.
Now, is there a do the states have their own navigable waterway laws, or is that strictly a federal thing?
It's strictly federal, and there are no navigable waterways. There's a little teeny tiny itty bitty sliver that comes inland, and I forget exactly where it is. You guys would know. It's on the west coast there. There's two of them, but the distance is extremely short.
Well, we have the Delta that comes in out of San Francisco Bay, and then I think up in Washington, the Columbia River, I think.
That could be correct.
That's a big one.
That could be correct, but as far as I know, the Columbia, huh?
I said, you go see Captain Bill.
Yo-ho-ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
He's got his little hat and everything.
Yeah, no kidding. Going to get him in those short pants here any day now.
don't give me that visual.
Sorry, we've gone somewhere bad.
But that's the thing that people have to absolutely remember. You had the EPA in there several years ago that just outright lied. I mean, they pulled an extremely misleading stunt with Governor Sandoval Brown and why am I blanking?
Schwarzenegger?
I'm sorry?
Was it Schwarzenegger?
No. It was Jerry Brown, Governor Sandoval from Nevada, and I hit a blank. There were three, or maybe there was just two governors and maybe Dianne Feinstein or something.
That sounds like the beginning of a really good joke.
Whatever. My memory is blurry. But he was trying to get California and Nevada to conjoin in some kind of a weird control over Lake Tahoe that would have sent a horrible ripple effect on the waters. And he did it with sediment, and it was a complete and total lie. Those EPA people aren't thrown in jail, I mean, look at what Gina McCarthy did to the Animas River in Colorado.
Yeah, you mean the new Orange River?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what caused...
Yeah, they had the big chemical spill?
Oh, yeah, yes.
The irrigators and stuff. I mean, I have friends who farm and ranch along the Animas, and the horror stories that they've told about what they had to do to try to be proactive to protect their livestock and their property and everything, and they're like, oh, okay, and yet they turn around and they fine, make life hell for a person in Wyoming who did everything absolutely perfectly by Wyoming state regulations, permits and everything, so that he could build a clean pond to act as a filter and so forth, and get more beneficial use for his own private property. This wasn't even on federal land. It wasn't private property on federal land. They used Google Earth, zeroed in on him, and made his life an absolute hell. Told him he was destroying a wetlands and so forth and so on. Well, fortunately, Harriet Hageman, the attorney for the defendant, for the landowner, won that case. And that was a big win. But nonetheless, they made his life hell. Now think about it this way. Livestock, allotment owners, mining, etc. on federal lands, because federal lands are split estates, are encumbrances. Now the Federal Reserve is a private lending institution. Mm-hmm. They don't want encumbered collateralization. They want those unencumbered. And so that's why the big push to get everybody off of federal land.
That does make sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you real quick, under agriculture, does that include cattle?
Now, what? I'm sorry, Bill, what was your...
With that one definition where the water was for agriculture...
is that ranching and farming?
Does that include cattle or ranching, cattle ranching?
Yes. Agriculture is agriculture, and livestock and everything
falls
under all of that.
Okay.
The environmentalists hate it, it's agriculture.
Yeah, they get grant money and go throw rocks at cows.
But try to do that with anything else, and it's called abuse. We have to take a really swift break here, and we'll be right back. We're chatting with Ronnie Bell Sylvester, the founder and volunteer editor of Land and Water USA. And as usual, we're bashing the government. So come on back. We'll have a good time. It'll kind of make you mad, but we'll have fun while we're doing it. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Welcome back to We the People. Okay, what is that?
That's fairly new music from Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River. Not the old standard, but it's a new Cry Me a
River. A new Cry Me a River.
A new Cry Me a River.
If you can redo Cry Me a River, I guess you can just... I guess it never ends. Oh, my gosh.
We're incredibly hip.
We are. We're very cool now, all of a sudden. So cool, we don't even know who it is.
You even played The Art of Noise earlier.
It's like, so who's that? Oh, my gosh. I realized on my little note sheet here, Ronnie, I had forgotten to close the loop on that Noah thing that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so these people are cattle ranchers up in Siskiyou County, and their head gate for their diversion and where their diversion goes is way off their property. Uh-huh. So, you know, the water travels in a creek that goes dry. In the summer, it just goes dry. They've got a lot of rock up there, and the water usually travels underground, and so you don't have fish in it year-round. It just doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times as it's going dry, right, you get these little pools, and you have fish stuck in the little pools. Well, typically the birds will eat them because there's, you know, no pun intended, they're like sitting ducks.
Sure.
So, yeah, they're just stuck in there, so it's just going to be less and less water. And so they're little snack fish, you know, goldfish size. So they're considered, threatened. The coho salmon are a threatened species, although we can buy them at Costco. But they're threatened there, apparently. And if they're goldfish size, they are, I think it was like $25,000 a fish. And there were 15 of them. That supposedly died in this little ditch out in the woods.
And didn't they say that was navigable?
Well, Noah showed up, and they're the big enforcer. So these poor people have been fighting this for, it's been several years now. And the latest on that particular case is that they were supposed to go to court. It was going to be a two-month trial up in Oregon on these 15 dead goldfish. And, they wanted him to pay. Wanted to pay him fine. They had to admit guilt, and guilt was that they killed him on purpose. They killed an endangered species on purpose, and they said, "No, we're not doing it." All right, fine. You have to go to this trial. It's 2 months long. Well, now you know this is kind of where the wheels come off. The trial was with a NOAA court and a NOAA judge, So the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration was going to be the judge, jury, and executioner, and they were supposed to pay an attorney to fight that out for 2 months, like they were going to win.
Mm. Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make that up. Part of it, I think...
It's like the Hammonds, the father and son,
yes,
who are in jail right now in mm-hmm. Oregon, and there was... I mean, that was a really gross overreach.
Tell people about that, because I'm sure some of our folks back east may not know that.
Well, the Hammonds, first of all, they were allotment owners on the federal land where the burn took place. So they owned that forage that burned on that federal land. So they're in jail for burning their own forage.
Hmm.
So for folks who don't understand that, if it's federal land, what was it, Forest Service or BLM was managing? Who was managing?
It makes no difference. The Forest Service is under the United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA.
Right.
And the... BLM is under the Department of Interior, the DOI. So you have already there a conflict, two different agencies that you have to deal with
right
there if you are an allotment owner on federal land. And, excuse me. And Clive and Bundy, I mean, he was called a domestic terrorist by Harry Reid for running cattle on his own vested property on federal land.
Yeah.
And the
you don't want to run into him in the dark, that's for sure.
It's all about, you just stay away from those exercise bands and you'd be a lot safer. They're
so,
super dangerous.
Yeah,
they'll knock an eye out.
Well, what Patty Murray's people in Oregon are doing is just criminal. And nobody's calling them on it because, and the saddest reason, Aaron and Bill, that really is, that grieves us, is they don't argue, attorneys don't understand enough about statutes to argue these cases correctly. They don't present the correct argument. And they start off on the wrong foot right out of the chute by referring to the federal land as public land. Mm.
Okay, so explain, give us a little what they're doing and what they should be doing, like for, us non-lawyers.
Well, first of all, they need to use the statutes to protect allotment owners who have vested property on federal land. And they should do everything possible to keep it at the lowest civil court level, and not take it. Once you get into federal court, it's game over. I mean, look at how many years they harassed the Wayne Hage family.
Right. Oh my gosh, 30 something years.
Yeah,
well,
you don't have the time or the money to
hand,
fight the federal government. I mean, they'll just outweigh you.
Yeah, and I mean, that case was so extreme that Judge, I can't remember his name, he actually told the Forest Service and the BLM agents that they should consider hiring individual criminal attorneys for their actions, which brings me to a solution.
Oh, no. So
yeah.
early in the game.
I have solutions.
We're not even in the last 2 minutes.
Oh.
That's usually what happens.
When would you like to have that brought in?
No, we're all good. It's just funny. It seems like
we're teasing this for the last segment.
It seems like we always have 1 minute left, and they go, oh, I have an idea. It's like, oh, well, okay, bye.
Well, it starts with the no trespassing sign. You post that no trespassing sign. You make sure you put the stickers on your electrical meters so that they don't try to slip a smart meter in there. And then when they do come on your property, you have them, everybody, sign a private property admittance agreement. That's extremely important.
And you have those, right, on your site?
Mm-hmm. We have everyone who wants to access our farm or ranches must sign a private property.
And they will they typically do that, though? I mean, if they're an employee of PG&E or you know, municipality, and you say, hey, if you want to come on my property, you have to sign this.
Well, that takes us to the public servants questionnaire. And then, of course, if you have an easement across your property for public utilities, those people do have the right, and also ditch riders. But like on a ditch rider, only the named ditch rider can come on to your property as the ditch goes through your property. So there are those exceptions, of course.
Okay, so define ditch rider for folks.
Oh, I'm sorry. When people have irrigation ditches, they are corporations, and they have to hire a superintendent who actually goes out and manages the head gate, the amount of water that's let out, and when there's a call in the river, and when they have to manage that water within that ditch.
And this is all gravity surface water. So this isn't, this isn't a well. This is not that kind of thing. This is water that would be flowing across the ground. That gets diverted, legal diversion. That people have a certain amount that they get to divert and use it for their beneficial use on their property.
Each person gets their allotment quantity. They call it consumptive use, which. That's sort of interesting to me because I think there's a margin that's played there amongst the water runners where they try to buy it for the consumptive use amount when, in fact, there's an allotment quantity, which is always more than the consumptive use. And I think they really play those margins.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's a whole different story.
Now, tell us about this form that they have to sign. What does that say?
Okay, now the public servants questionnaire, it is under the Privacy Act of 1974. And what it does is that, I love this, I love the language that's at the top of it. It just simply says, U.S. Code 552A, blah, blah, authorizes a sovereign natural person citizen to use this form to collect information from the public servant to determine whether to divulge information to the public servant and employing agency. Public law 9 states, the purpose of this act is to provide certain safeguards for an individual against invasion of personal privacy requiring federal agencies to permit an individual to determine what records pertaining to him are collected, maintained, and or disseminated by such agencies. And so we ask when whomever comes to the door, are you a public servant or are you a government employee? If they say yes, we give them the public servants questionnaire.
Now, is it only federal or is it any public employee?
I think it's any public servant, because I just kind of went over this today, and I do need a little more clarification on this, because it's my understanding that city employees, townships, municipalities, county, state are all public servants. But I do need clarification on that, and I will look into that more, because that is a good question, the same one I had today.
And then what questions are on that?
We have to do that in the next segment.
They have to give their full name, and then they have to, they're asked, will you uphold the Constitution of the United States? And this is an actual form. This isn't a made-up thing. This is the actual form that you can pull off of forms under that particular statute, the Privacy Act, and that statute.
Right. Can you shoot me a link to that, and I'll include it on the website?
Okay, sure.
My computer is dead. Otherwise, I'd look it up right now and do it.
Yeah, sure. No, it's a really good thing to have.
Annoying.
We've had county employees who have come to eradicate noxious weeds. They've had to sign it. We had a fishing game came. We asked them to sign it. They've never seen it before, and they take a deep swallow, and they look at it, and it's like, what? But they
sign it. They did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, either that or they've got to go back home and explain why they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Yes, that's
correct. Which is kind of nice.
Now, the no trespassing sign, that has already proven out in two little tiny situations to work. A person was absent from their home. They were adding a deck onto their home that had already passed the inspections and the original blueprints. But they were called to war, and they had to go over to Iraq, and so there was a time lapse between then and when they came back to complete the deck, and the inspector came around and slapped a notice on his door that he didn't have an inspection on that deck, and so he went down to the building inspector's office and explained to them that he was trespassing. Did you not see the trespassing sign posted there? Well, yeah, but that doesn't apply to us. He said, did you not see the last line on the sign? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but that still doesn't apply to us. And he said, yes, it did. And it turned out really good because then this person actually went back to that county and gave them an educational seminar to the inspectors on what constituted trespass. So that worked out really positive.
So the part about no immunity for criminal trespass by
exactly.
government parties was the part just looked right past.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We need to take a real quick
break
because I want to get into this a little bit more.
Okay.
2 minutes?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Oh, this is a fun song. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going to tell you a big fat story, baby. It's all about my town. Yeah, down by the river. Down by the banks of the River Charles. That's what's happening, baby.
I guess the biggest mistake of their lives is to ignore the no trespassing sign. So we're here with...
That's true.
I know. We're here with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA. And so we've got this listed on our website, and you have... It links directly to Land and Water USA where they can get the metal sign. It's 12 by 18, and it has, like, the little holes, you know, so you can hook it on a fence. And they're $26 each. That's with shipping. Oh, yeah, shipping included.
Shipping included.
And then you have a 3x4 sticker that's you can get a dozen of them for $2 each. And that would be super handy for, like, your electric meter, so they don't come at you with the smart meters. But even if you live in a neighborhood, you don't want somebody traipsing around in your backyard. You know, oh, we thought we saw or...
Well, I think if you have it posted,
I mean,
especially...
I think sometimes people think about, you know, you're way out in the middle of nowhere and you have, like, the no hunting sign or whatever. Well, you could be in town and still have these problems.
Sure. So. I mean, you have the right to keep people off your private property. And I think if you have it posted and they come on, now they're automatically right there. They violated your rights.
Yeah. What's the deal,
your private
Ronnie?
Property rights.
If you don't, obviously you guys did this on purpose, you know, made these signs and you put what no trespassing, trespassers will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, no immunity for criminal trespass by government parties. And I would imagine that turns a lot of people around.
It does. And you talk about cities, residential areas. Yes, because there seems to be, and I wasn't aware of this until recently, there seems to be a growing problem with cable companies thinking that they're public utilities and tromping across people's private property to get access or lay cable for somebody else's television. And this was brought to my attention, and the people were so angry because the cable guy insisted that he had a right to be there that they immediately got one of those signs and put it up and took a photograph of it and posted it on Facebook.
Nice. Well, you know, because the one I'm thinking about, what happens a lot, because we have all this, and I'm not telling you anything, but because you're in Colorado, but this marijuana thing is just a nightmare. And so you have all these dope growers all over the place, and they have, you know, maybe 2 acres or, you know, not huge amounts of land, but you have some ground, right? And this happened to some folks that I know. They had 5 acres, and they bordered somebody else. And so as the enforcement agency, I don't know if it was the sheriff or whatever, but as they're scurrying through to go bust these dope growers, they take the people from the building department that are code enforcement with them. Because if they can't get them, because you have the legal pot growing thing, so if you can't bust them on how much they're growing, they were going after them for code violation. So as they ran through these people's property to access the other property, they noticed, hey, wait a minute, they closed in that carport. Well, I don't remember seeing a permit. So building inspector guy makes a little mental note, runs back to the county office and goes, oh, they never filed a permit for that. Well, no one would have ever known about it because it was way the heck off the road. They should not have been down there. And I'm thinking like a sign like this could have maybe stopped.
Well,
I would think if they went
around that sign and made their observation after they trespassed, I'm not sure that's...
Yeah, what's your...
You can hold that up in court, can you?
What's your recourse? So let's say that happened and they had the sign there, but they ran through anyway and then tried to fine them.
Well, it does have teeth, and it's something that you can take directly to your sheriff with proof of evidence and keep it on the lowest civil level and just simply have them arrested.
How much fun would that be?
That would be fun. It'd
be super fun.
Yeah.
These folks, they just, oh my gosh, it turned into like World War III.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
They had these.
That really is unfortunate. But that's what's so good about this sign, because it does have teeth. The wording is very specific, and each word has a reason and a purpose. And so it does have teeth, and you always want to keep those things at the lowest civil court in your county level.
Right, so it doesn't turn into, you know, like NOAA court with the NOAA judge, which obviously is going to get you nowhere. Well, you know, with these folks, I guess I can, you know, I can always hear our naysayers in the back of my head, you know, well, you're advocating people break the law and just hide it, and that way they don't get caught.
What?
That's what I'm thinking they're thinking I'm saying, and okay, so what if I'm saying that? if they want to add onto their carport, I mean, nuts to them, but in this one, they actually filed on these folks that they were a public nuisance. So they're pretty funny, actually, this guy and his wife. And so they had T-shirts made because the man was the husband was the guy who got the thing that said he was a public nuisance. So she has some T-shirts made when they had to go to court. And so he's wearing a T-shirt that says, "I'm a Shasta County public nuisance." She had another one made, "I'm with the Shasta County public nuisance." So these guys marched into court.
We actually had no trespassing T-shirts made, but they're completely gone. And I hope I had that removed from the website.
No, they're still on there. And you know,
I need to have that. But it was pretty hilarious.
I was going to ask you, how does that work?
Yeah,
no trespass by government parties.
Because people wanted to wear them through
TSA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, actually. I'm like, those shirts would be
great.
Maybe
it was your suggestion.
I don't know. But
maybe you were the one that came up with that.
I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's a TSA shirt right there.
Yeah, you're the one that started it.
That's just fun and games.
Why does that not surprise me?
That's just fun and games at the airport right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, I don't think people realize it's very much like, I mean, I guess it's a very different example, but it's the same idea. You know, the Patriot Act. You know, we have a huge crisis, and then here's the Patriot Act. Oh, that's good. It'll keep everybody safe. And now we see what it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, we forfeited a ton of our freedom and our Fourth Amendment rights for, you know, quote unquote, safety and security. Well, I don't know, who was it, Benjamin Franklin said those who would bargain, you know, one for the other, get neither. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where we are. So I think sometimes people who live in non-rural settings don't realize their rights are being violated by a lot of this, that this trespass counts for them too.
That it does, and it's an excellent, that's an excellent application to that, because if you're going to shut down agriculture, then you are impacting that urban person who kind of likes to eat.
Yeah. Even the environmentalists have to eat. I never can figure out what they think they're going to eat after they drive all the farmers out, but, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, that's a whole different subject, too. But,
yeah, we hit that one pretty regularly. It's one of our favorites.
My brother always wanted to pick them up by their braids and whip them around in a circle and let go of them.
I think he's onto something there. Don't they have a midget tossing? Maybe we could have environmentalist spinning, huh?
I don't know, but that's why
I
like
say
the
midget tossing.
You said midget tossing. I heard
you're in big trouble now.
Oh man.
Go ahead, Bob.
Phones find are going to start ringing.
Find a song for that.
Well,
hey, speaking of bad people who, I don't know if she's a midget or not, but if she's a bad person, on our website, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you'll see along the top bar, I have a tab called Dr. Kate. And this is a woman that people should really become familiar with. She is.
Is that Vander,
yes,
Vander,
yes,
or something?
Kate Vandermoor.
Yes.
And
okay.
She is quite the operative. I got a treasure trove of information from a source who asked me if I would be willing to post it and said,
interesting.
Absolutely.
Very interesting. Because I just got, just last week, some information and a phone call in respect to that person. And
well, what she's doing is sidling up. She has a long history with NOAA and Bureau of Indian Affairs and all this, but she is going into communities like up in Montana.
She's a hydrologist, right?
I don't know if she is a hydrologist or if she just plays one on TV. I'm not sure exactly what her biography's on there, and I feel like I'm hamstrung. My computer's dead, so I can't look it up, but it's right there on the site. Gives her biography, and this lady is a real, she's tricky. She's got those irrigators up there in Montana convinced that she's actually helping them.
That's kind of the info I got.
Yep, and so unfortunately they're listening to her, and they're going to lose their shorts if they're not not careful. Speaking of shorts, we have to take a little break. Okay, it didn't have anything to do with shorts, but yeah, I couldn't help it.
Actually,
really,
it does.
A really quick break. We'll be right back.
You
short
to find
people.
Song.
Yes. It's my midget tossing song.
Randy Newman.
We'll be right back. We'll be inappropriately right back.
Short people got no reason. Short people got well.
Rocky Mountain High.
Colorado. We couldn't resist.
Rocky Mountain High.
That song, who knew? Even John Denver didn't know it was all going that way, did he?
Single panel.
Good.
Okay, picture. One cowboy's on his horse on the ground. The other cowboy's on his horse up in the air. And the caption reads, "What kind of grass are you feeding him?"
Yeah, I bet the jokes in Colorado have changed a lot. Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's brutal. I remember when I was in college, I went to school over at Humboldt State where there was a tremendous amount of pot growing, and I think always has been since the beginning of time. And I remember I worked at an Olympic club. I taught powerlifting. And a guy that I worked with, his grandparents were going to jail. I was like, what? Your grandparents are going? I mean, I didn't even know anybody who had ever gone to jail. I'd never even been to a jail. Your grandparents are going to jail. What did they do? They were dope growers. It's like, oh, man, we're not in Connecticut anymore, are we? Yeah, it's very weird. That was a rude awakening for a nice girl from Catholic school in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Hey, so I looked up on Bill's computer here the Kate Vandermore thing. She is a highly trained hydrologist, so points to you. You remembered that part. Previously served as a special assistant to the former assistant secretary of the U.S. Department of the Interior and the director of its Bureau of Indian Affairs. So,
oh, wait a minute. Back up. Now,
yes.
What was that about the Department of Interior? Who?
It was Ada Deer, the former assistant secretary.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
She was under
Ken Salazar?
Yeah. Yep. It was under Babbitt.
Babbitt. Oh, way back then.
Yes. Yeah, known for her significant reorganization of the Bureau of Indian Affairs under Clinton Babbitt. She was the special assistant to Mrs. Deer during that period of time.
Okay, yes, okay.
So this lady's been into all sorts of stuff. So we're anticipating that she's going to pop up in the Klamath situation out here on the Oregon and California border. So,
you mean with the fake endangered species that was actually brought there as a food source in 1891 or something?
Well, yes, and then, you know, not to be outdone, we have the short-nosed suckerfish that nobody cared about that's very much like the Delta smelt, you know, kind of a worthless fish that now is some ceremonial holy grail something or other, so you got to have those. And,
and they were never there to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to.
That's right.
That's exactly
correct.
Super fabulous. So you got to have them. And so they've got everything upside down, want to take out the hydro dams up there. And we've done quite a few shows on that. We're looking at those agreements, those Klamath Basin restoration agreements, just a little update for our audience. Those blow up at the end of the year. So if Congress doesn't act, and I have it on fairly decent authority that it's going to be pretty hard to budge them, on this particular thing, then those agreements should blow up because
expire.
I think the tribes are going to bail out. So once the tribes leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So everybody says, oh, it's a, I just read an article today. It's unbelievable. It's an amazing feat that they got all these groups together to agree. It's like nobody agreed and nobody compromised. Everybody just got screwed. So.
Well, that's where that word consensus has become
one of my least favorite dirty words
in our world, because consensus is vastly different from a counted show of hands.
And it's not even like everybody's getting something out of the deal. Really, nobody gets anything. There's no guarantee of water up there. It's just a bad deal. But then they lose the hydro dams. So Dr. Kate is a prominent figure in this whole thing of utilizing tribes to take over water and property rights.
That's really interesting. I wonder how many other connections there are, because my first knowledge of her was, of course, again last week late, and I have not had time to research her at all.
You don't have to. You can just go on there and. Seriously, it took me forever to get all this stuff on the website and then to try to get it in some kind of order and then link it to itself and all of that. It's really comprehensive. And the person who sent it to me is
Well, thank you for doing all that.
An expert. It was easy for me. I mean, it's all right there, but I'm looking for someone. I really want to do a program about it because, honestly, unless you're a lawyer or you've been involved in this stuff, you're not going to read all that. So it was important to kind of out this lady and her connections, because that's how landowners and other people who work for a living, imagine that, people who actually work and don't just scam the government all day long, they wind up being taken advantage of because these folks are experts. They know they're up against the big machinery of government. It's going to cost them a lot of money. And someone comes in and says, hey, I have expertise, and I'll donate my time to you. And then, you know, it's all done but the curling ribbon, and pretty soon, boop, you're in a little package, and off you go.
Yep, you're part of that unencumbered collateralization.
Oh, yes, that.
They just removed you because you were an encumbrance.
Yep, and now, gee whiz, look, they got it all to themselves. It's fantastic.
Well, what we just started today, I just fired it off to one of our state senators today, and I will put one in each mailbox when I go to the Capitol on Monday, is an equal standing bill, and it is an equal protection from personal attack, parens malicious deprivation of constitutional rights, act by federal employee. We need to have this, Bill and Aaron. We really need to have this because they are using federal employees as their frontline army.
Yes.
While they're doing all their little stinky stuff in the background.
Well, and people get really upset. You know, I take a lot of phone calls that, you know, Congress isn't doing its job. And, you know, I got to keep pointing out to people the agencies are part of the executive branch. And all these people that make regulation, they're supposed to be using the law to make regulation. But at the end of the day, if your chief executive officer, whether it's the governor or the president, doesn't rein in their agencies, we get mowed down.
Well, we do, because we don't understand that we have rights. We don't understand that we do have rights. And what we're doing is allowing them to, first of all, trespass. And the minute you allow them to trespass, you've allowed them to get you a little bit pregnant. And then you're facing the decision as to whether or not to abort or go full term with this baby. And it's just plug ugly. And so my position is, don't let them on your property in the first place.
Yeah, just say no.
Yeah, just say no. Exactly.
We need to get that old DARE slogan out. Just say no.
Yeah, really. People have to learn that no one can access their property without their permission unless they have, again, those extenuating circumstances of a warrant, or, you know, like the Boston bomber, they saw him actually crossing people's property and hiding on people's property, and it was so noted, and so they were able to, law enforcement was able to go there. And another thing that people need to remember is that unless your county sheriff has deputized those federal agents, they have no police authority over you at all.
That's true. It's not federal land.
Exactly.
Well, there's a reason that we joke about, you know, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help, you know. They're not, and they won't, so...
Even on federal land, unless the county sheriff deputizes the BLM or the Forest Service person, they have no authority over you. They cannot come in with packing iron and exercise police powers over you at all. People don't know that.
No, they don't.
They're not law enforcement.
And it's important. So get the show out to folks. We'll have it archived for you. And we'll actually have a commercial-free version on there, so you can send it to your friends. And Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA, thanks a million for coming on with us.
Thank you so much for coming on. Great show.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to help educate people. I'm still a student, too.
Thanks a million. And if you shoot us those links, we'll put them on the website.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Bill.
You bet.
WeThePeopleRadio.us. Talk to you guys next week.